are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to a fresh week here at Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, and editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, every single Monday through Friday. It has been a wild, wild weekend for Saints fans, a very different approach to the draft, some question marks, some exclamation points, and some surprises, period. And we're going to recap it all here on today's show. We're going to start off with a look over the entire weekend, the draft selections, Taysom Hill's extension, and of course, the expected signing of former Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston. Then we'll go in depth with each draft pick. We've already talked a little bit about Cesar Ruiz, so we'll spend most of our segment number two talking about the day two selections in this year's draft, and then close out the show with the day three selections and undrafted free agency with our final segment. We'll talk about the players, the moves, and their futures here in New Orleans, along with, of course, a little bit of land yap on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Between the draft, Taysom Hill, and Jameis Winston, the Saints have had a very exciting weekend, and that is our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So let's start off from the top. The Saints finished up a four-person draft at one point, trading completely out of the third day, trading every single one of their third-day picks to move up into the bottom of round three in order to make a selection at the end of the second day there, and then end up trading back into the third round. So the emotions were just very different. A little bit of a roller coaster the entire way through, but a very fun weekend for New Orleans Saints fans who end up with a pretty solid draft class, even though it is a small draft class. The Saints did say that they wanted to go for a little bit more quality over quantity, and they surely achieved that this year, grabbing, according to Mickey Loomis, three of their top 40 players in the first 105 picks of the 2020 draft. Those three players are their top three selections, with Cesar Ruiz, who was selected at pick number 24 in the first round. Then the Saints traded up to number 74 to grab linebacker Zach Bond out of Wisconsin. Then they traded all of their day four picks to move into the bottom of the third round to pick 105 to select Dayton tight end Adam Trautman. And then when we thought that they were just going to sit back and let the third day just happen, no big deal, no stress, no Saints selections at all, they end up trading a 2021 sixth rounder in order to get back into the seventh round at pick 240 overall and select Mississippi State and former Penn State quarterback Tommy Stevens. And Tommy Stevens is a very interesting selection for the Saints because he essentially fits the Taysom Hill mold. So it goes to show you how much the Saints really enjoy that slasher role in their offense. Now, we'll go in depth on all of these a little later, but we need to continue to go through the weekend because the weekend didn't just finish up with those four draft picks. They also signed 12 different undrafted free agents, including a couple of marquee guys like Marquez Callaway, the wide receiver out of Tennessee, Calvin Throckmorton, the offensive lineman out of Oregon, and the tackling machine linebacker Joe Bocci out of Michigan State, who was supposed to be, or at least was expected to be, a early day three selection. Instead, he makes it to undrafted free agency and now packs his bags for the Big Easy. So the Saints, very busy in undrafted free agency as usual. They brought in 15 undrafted free agents last year in 2019, 2020. They almost matched that number at 12, actually 13 now, because they also added Adrian McGee from LSU earlier on Sunday. And so the Saints still looking at that undrafted free agent class, and there are still some pretty good UDFAs out there that the Saints could look to continue to bring back to New Orleans. But they didn't just finish up an undrafted free agency either. They also got mixed in with our usual free agency, and one of the selections that we thought could be possible for the Saints, there was a big debate going on in terms of the backup quarterback role and what that was going to be. They drafted Tommy Stevens, but you just kind of had the inkling that that wasn't the guy that Sean Payton was talking about when he mentioned that he wanted to have a third quarterback active on game days. You just had the feeling that it was going to be a free agent from somewhere, and they reached not too far away, not even outside of the division, to bring in Buccaneers former quarterback Jameis Winston. Now, this is a reportedly expected signing. This contract isn't complete yet, but the Saints are likely just waiting until the end of day on Monday to sign him, because if they do so, he doesn't count towards the 2020 compensatory draft pick formula, which could end up nixing one of their six-round compensatory picks they're supposed to get next season. And because they traded away their original six-rounder, certainly they want to hold on to that so that they can still have a selection in every round of the 2021 draft, at least for now. Instead, they'll sign him at the end of day, very likely, or at least after Monday, so that he then counts towards the Saints' 2021 compensatory draft pick formula, so that if he ends up doing just like Teddy Bridgewater did, sticks around for a year or two, ends up getting released, and then signs, or ends up having his playing out his contract in New Orleans, and then signs a lucrative deal somewhere else, then the Saints can then get a compensatory draft pick in the future for him. So there you go, the front office being geniuses as usual. We'll talk a little bit more about the fit for Jameis Winston and what it means, but we can't move to that just yet because the Saints were not done. After the announcement of Jameis Winston being signed, we then learned that Taysom Hill has finally signed his extension. The team and player finally reached their extension, and he now ends up becoming a part of the Saints through 2021. He is signed before to that restricted free agency tender, which was a $4.6 million contract through 2021. He essentially signs a two-year $21 million deal instead, with $16 million guaranteed, which should do nothing but signify that for the Saints, 2021 is expected to be Taysom Hill's shot and Taysom Hill's year if Drew Brees indeed retires after the 2020 season. So a wacky, wild, and super fun weekend for New Orleans Saints fans, and honestly, probably for the New Orleans Saints as well, getting through the draft, getting three guys in their top 40, bringing in a really good group of undrafted free agents yet again, retaining Taysom Hill through the 2021 season, and adding Jameis Winston, the former Buccaneers quarterback, to their quarterback room. You can simply never relax when it comes to the New Orleans Saints. So as you can see, we've got much to talk about on today's episode. So we'll start off with day two of the NFL draft, jump to day three in undrafted free agency, and I'll try to get some thoughts in about Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill as well, but that might have to carry over into tomorrow's episode. But we'll get everything we can in for today's episode here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. If y'all are anything like me, you have either just eaten and you're already thinking about what you're going to have tomorrow, or you haven't eaten yet and the only thing you can think about is when you're going to eat and what you're going to eat. And for times like that, that's when the Postmates app comes in handy, especially at a time like right now and with everything that's going on in the world. They've created non-contact delivery so you can have everything brought and left outside your house. You don't have to leave your home. You don't even have to open the door until after your food is already there. And they make it even easier if you want to get outside for a little while, but do it safely. Postmates Pickup, they allow you to go out and grab takeout from all of your favorite local restaurants. And that's really important to be supporting all of your local neighborhood spots right now. I've only been ordering local because it's a great way to support my community. And you can do it too through the Postmates app. And you can do it with even convenience stores, 7-Eleven, Walgreens. Get those sort of necessities that you need just as much as you can get your hands on all of the food that you want as well. And you can start taking care of that, taking care of yourself as well, by downloading the Postmates app on iOS and Android. Find your favorite to get anything you want delivered within the hour. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries now, just download the Postmates app and use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL, all one word, all caps. That's code LOCKEDONNFL for $100 of free delivery credit in your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, y'all. So let's go ahead and keep this show rolling. I know I already spoke a little bit on Cesar Ruiz, Zach Bond, and Adam Trautman in Friday's episode and then Saturday's bonus episode, but I want to revisit the three picks for just a second. And in particular, these three guys are just... It was honestly weird to think after the second day of the draft that you were just kind of finished and you had three picks, you know, two in the third, one in the first, and that the Saints were just ready to wipe their hands and say, all right, we're done here. Remember, they traded 130, 169, 203, and the 244 that they picked up in the trade up for Zach Bond, where they traded up to 74. And then they traded all four of those picks to get back into day two to select Adam Trautman out of Dayton. Now, I've talked a little bit about each of these guys, but I just want to elaborate a little bit on where their fits are with the team and sort of revisit that topic, because I think that that's the most important question. When you start to talk about how do you grade these picks, or how do you see these picks working out, or how do you feel about these guys, it really all kind of comes down to what their projections are versus what the reality of their sort of production is going to be at the NFL level. And the good news is that with each of them, they've got caveats. With each of them, you can like what you see right now, but then you can hate what you see later, or you can love what you see later. Each of them sort of has that potential in them, right? I think that they lean a little bit more to loving what you're going to see them and the coaching, what you're going to see from them. And the coaching staff certainly helps to make that happen. When you have offensive line coaches like Dan Rauscher, and you've got linebacker coaches like Michael Hodges, who was under the tutelage of Mike Nolan. And then you have a tight end coach / associate head coach like Dan Campbell. And you know, you've seen the Saints succeed at each of those positions, and you have really fantastic mentors in each of those position groups as well. When you look at Jared Cook, when you look at Josh Hill, DeMario Davis in the linebacking core, you can even really throw Alex Anzalone in there at this point, or even Kiko Alonso, who's had an interesting journey through the NFL. And then you look at, you know, over on the offensive line, Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk, Eric McCoy, who just came into the league as well, who can speak a little bit to the idea of versatility and what the transition is like in today's game, which none of the other guys can speak to as clearly. Maybe Ryan Ramczyk a little bit, but that's the fantastic part about the situation all three of these guys walk into. And so their fit with this team comes down just as much to how the team addresses them and how effective the team's work is with them. So it comes down to just as much the coaching staff as it does to the players themselves. And certainly that's true for a lot of situations, but because of the unique situation that the NFL is in right now, the Saints were very specific about the type of player they looked for. They went for all of these high IQ, big time football junkie film study on their own types that can come in and be ready in July in training camp, essentially to fight for starting roles, because each of them essentially have the ability, maybe Adam Trautman a little bit less so. He's going to have a little bit more time to acclimate to the NFL, which is sort of expected for the rookie tight end. You know, tight end position is one of the harder positions to translate to in the NFL, because you're learning so many new things in terms of how to transition from the tight end of the, you know, college game to the tight end of the NFL game, and you're bulking up in size, you're getting more pro ready, things like that. So you'll get a little bit more time with him. But in terms of Cesar Ruiz and Zach Bond, these guys have legitimate shots to be on the field day one. And you know, it's a little bit of a different scenario for both of them. For Cesar Ruiz, he's coming in to either potentially compete directly with Larry Warford for the right guard position, or if Eric McCoy seems to be a better fit for the right guard position than Larry Warford, then Cesar Ruiz can plug right in at center, because he's a fantastic center. That's where he spent most of his time in college, and that's where the Saints really, really like him. And they're not necessarily married to Eric McCoy at center. He did a very good job his rookie year in 2019, but they also know that he's a viable right guard, and they love the intelligence of Cesar Ruiz, who can everybody gushed from Michigan about how intelligent he is on the field and how he helps to set the offensive line up for success. So he's a big part of that, and that's something that the Saints definitely want to see on their offensive line as well. But they're going to essentially be competing with Larry Warford for a position, and Larry Warford could end up finding his way out. I'm so curious to see where this money came from to bring in Taysom Hill's extension and to sign Jameis Winston. So we'll see exactly how that goes. I don't think Jameis Winston's contract is going to be a lot. Nick Underhill mentioned that as well. This was never really about the money for Jameis, but still curious to see where some of this money is coming from, and if Larry Warford or Nick Easton even has anything to do with that. But we'll learn more about that probably throughout this week, once the Jameis Winston contract is actually signed and ready to go. We know the structure of that, and of course you'll be updated here on the show. But those two guys, or rather that's Cesar Ruiz's path, Zach Bond's path really comes down to, again, the coaching. If they're able to really shift him to a 4-3 middle linebacker or Sam the way that they really want to, or a strong side linebacker, then they could essentially end up getting him on the field game one as well. He could take Kiko Alonso's spot at the Sam and reprise sort of the AJ Klein type role, with better coverage ability, with better speed and better athleticism. athleticism that with AJ Klein brought to the field, that he could end up moving into the Mike position and then letting Alex Anzalone take the Sam position, to where he ends up coming off the field on third downs, which could help keep him healthier longer. I'm sure that Alex Anzalone certainly doesn't want that, because he's usually the nickel guy in coverage, and he's certainly shown when healthy to be very effective in that role. But we'll see what happens in terms of how he comes back from his injury, which he has cleared to come back, so that's at least some good news there. But we'll see how long he's able to hold up, and then we'll see if Kiko Alonso is even back for the beginning of the year, which would be another sort of path for Zach Bond to get onto the field early on in the season. As for Adam Trautman, he gets an opportunity to come in, learn from Jared Cook, learn from Josh Hill, and be able to essentially be the third tight end in this game and with this team. And eventually, probably, if he can really hold up at 6'5", they're going to try to get him up to 260, 265, put a little bit of extra weight on him. But if he can get up there, and if he can really complete his transition to the NFL as a playmaking pass catcher and a tight end that can line up all around the offensive lineup, he can be a true Y lined up in line, he can line up in the slot, he can line up outside. If he can show all of that versatility within his first year, then he could be the guy that takes over at the top tight end position once Jared Cook leaves. So there's certainly a reason that these three guys were in the top 40 for the Saints, and just an outstanding opportunity for the Saints to be able to get a hold of all three of them within the top 105 picks of the draft. Sean Payton said that they were trying to trade up for Zach Bond as early as the top of the second quarter, and in terms of getting their final trade done, it took them about 45 minutes to do it, to get up 14 spots, to get up to 74. When Cleveland finally agreed to make a trade with him so that they can select him. So luckily, he continued to topple down as the Saints' target while they were trying to trade up for him. And so that all came to fruition and worked out. And they certainly were very aggressive to trade up and grab hold of Dayton tight end Adam Trautman, which he mentioned in his meeting with media that he was just absolutely flabbergasted by the fact that the Saints would do that to go up and select him. He actually learned during the interview, somebody asked him, how do you feel? That must make you feel good, right? To know that the Saints traded all four of their picks in day three in order to jump up and get you here in day two. And he was just absolutely dumbfounded by that. So that was pretty cool to hear as well. All three of these guys very excited to join the team in New Orleans, but they didn't end the draft class like we expected. Still another selection came through late in the draft. And then of course, undrafted free agency as well. We'll talk about all those here next on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Who Dat Nation, let's wrap up today's episode. We have so much left to talk about. Oh my goodness, it was such a crazy weekend. So let's go ahead and finish up with day three. Let's finish up with the draft proper. Then we'll jump into a quick outlook on some of these undrafted free agents. And then we'll get to the quarterback news and the expansion of the quarterback room here in New Orleans. So we'll start actually a little bit with that quarterback room by talking about Tommy Stevens. Tommy Stevens was the Saints' seventh round pick, even though they traded away all their picks to go ahead and move up for Adam Trautman. They didn't stop. They weren't done. They sure made it look like they were just going to sit around in day three and just continue to focus on undrafted free agency. But come to find out, that wasn't necessarily the case. In fact, one of the reasons why they ended up trading up to 240 here, and let me talk about the trade a little bit. They didn't have to give up that much. They ended up trading a sixth round pick in 2021. Like I mentioned earlier, they're expected to have a comp pick that in 2021 at that round because of AJ Klein leaving, which shouldn't be affected by Jameis Winston's contract because they won't sign Jameis Winston until after it no longer applies to the 2021 compensation pick or compensatory pick in 2021. So they're doing a good job there, but they end up trading back into the draft and up to 240 with Houston, and they take Tommy Stevens. And one of the reasons why they end up doing that is because Tommy Stevens was actually one of their top targets in undrafted free agency, but it seemed, as Sean Payton said, that Stevens may have been leaning toward another team. And so the Saints were like, nah, fam, you're coming to New Orleans. So they traded back into the draft and selected him to bring him here. So 6'5", 237 pounds, ran a 4.49 40 and a 4.19 short shuttle at his pro day, right? Which is a little bit of a backyard pro day, but still incredible numbers, especially for somebody at his size. Again, 6'5", 237. The guy was a quarterback for the most part, or rather a dual threat quarterback for the most part at Mississippi State. But when he was at Penn State, he also caught 14 passes and 2 touchdowns over his time there. And, Sean Payton mentioned that because of his athleticism, he could see him getting involved in the kicking game as well. So you're seeing this guy that the Saints traded up and back into the draft for to select at the quarterback position, that is really coming in to be more of that slasher role, Swiss Army knife, Taysom Hill-like prototype as opposed to a developmental quarterback straight up. I thought, personally, when the Saints traded back into 240, Anthony Gordon was still on the board there, and I absolutely thought that he was going to be the selection for the Saints. 5,000 yards, over 72% of his passes completed at Washington State last year. I thought he was going to be the guy that Sean Payton was going to bring in and groom, but clearly when Sean Payton said that he wanted a developmental quarterback, that type of developmental quarterback is not what he was talking about. He was talking about a combination of a Taysom Hill and a veteran quarterback that he can develop. The New Orleans Saints have essentially become the grad school for quarterbacks in the NFL. Take a look at what they've done here. You look at Drew Brees, who was brought in off of what many expected to be a season-ending injury. The guy plays now 20 years in the NFL, wins a Super Bowl in 2009, and has been one of the most prolific passers, if not the most prolific passer, in the NFL since joining the Saints. Taysom Hill joined the Saints as an undrafted free agent that the Saints ended up signing away from, Green Bay. They ended up signing away from Green Bay, and then they allowed to get him involved in his role and create this role that the entire NFL has tried to replicate with guys like Easton Stick, with the Los Angeles Chargers, Nick Fitzgerald with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even Trace McSorley they tried it with at Baltimore, and they've never been able to replicate it. Now all of a sudden there's this guy on the board that really can be that type of player, that slasher role player that you actually saw do it at Penn State of all places, one of the most vanilla programs in college, and the Saints get them, which just has to drive the rest of the NFL absolutely wild, but that's what the New Orleans Saints do. Moving on through the graduate school idea, though, you look at what they did for Teddy Bridgewater as well, bringing him in and then turning him into a $10 million a year quarterback now with the Carolina Panthers, and it looks like they're squared up to do it yet again with Jameis Winston. So before we dive into the Jameis Winston talk, let me just talk a little bit about a couple of the undrafted free agents. I'll go a little bit more in depth on some of them. Three of them came from Oregon, so Jordan Long from Locked On Ducks is going to come over and talk a little bit about them with us. So there's just a couple guys that I want to point out. The Saints signed a total of 13 undrafted free agents now, one from LSU in Adrian McGee, who I'm excited about because he played 13 games at left guard for the Tigers, 2 games at left tackle for the Tigers as well. So you like that kind of versatility, and those two positions should sound familiar to any Saints fans because they're the two most oft injured positions along the Saints offensive line. So he'll be an interesting one to watch. I'm very excited about Marquez Callaway, the wide receiver out of Tennessee. He is somebody that has been a go up and get it big time leaper. He has some good speed, good after run after catch ability as well. I was shocked that he was not drafted in this draft, as were a lot of draft experts and analysts and everything like that. So that's one that I'm very excited to look, that I'm really looking forward to as well, and I'm very much excited about because he could be sort of last year's Emmanuel, well, I guess not Emmanuel Butler because he never actually made it to the active roster, but little Jordan Humphrey or Krishan Hogan that kind of comes out of nowhere to keep an eye on. Another guy that to look out for, somebody that I mentioned earlier in the intro, is Joe Bocci out of Michigan State, the 6'2", 237-pound linebacker who has, he's not as athletic as guys like Patrick Queen and Kenneth Murray, who the Saints ended up passing up on, but you have a lot of athleticism. Well, I guess I didn't pass up on Kenneth Murray, but still, you have the athleticism that you need in Zach Bond, but if you want to look for a potential undrafted free agent to step into a depth role and a special teams role for the Saints, Joe Bocci, definitely somebody to look forward to. This guy is a tackling machine. If he gets his hands on somebody, he's taking them down. Now, if you're a part of the Locked On Saints Facebook group, you already know that members are starting to take an over-under bet on how many times I'm going to talk about Calvin Throckmorton and how many times I'm going to say the name Throckmorton on the podcast over the week. And I'm going to tell you now, it's going to be a lot because you should be very excited about Calvin Throckmorton because Throckmorton is an extremely versatile offensive lineman that can end up being a part of the depth on this team. Think about Ethan Greenidge, who was on the 53-man roster the entire year in 2019 and never saw the field, never had to see the field. That's good. That's a good thing. But that is a role that is ripe for the picking for a guy like Calvin Throckmorton. So definitely watch out for him and those other guys that I mentioned as well. And The Saints brought in a punter, not too really worried about the punter that they brought in. I think it's more of a training camp thing. And like the guy booted four different 70-yard punts while he was at Penn State. So he's certainly somebody that is pretty exciting. The Saints brought in another wide receiver as well with Juwan Johnson. And then they ended up rounding out the group with a few more names as well. Those names include Jordan Steckler, an offensive tackle slash guard from Northern Illinois. Again, another versatile offensive line piece for the undrafted free agent class and training camp. Malcolm Roach, the interior defensive lineman out of Texas, who can also be versatile, play inside and out. He weighed in at 297 pounds at the combine and still ran a 4.8440, which is just kind of ridiculous, honestly. Darren Paulo, another offensive tackle. He's coming from Utah. The Saints really loaded up on offensive line here. Tony Jones Jr., running back out of Notre Dame. He's praised for his pass blocking in particular, but also ran for 857 yards and six touchdowns. Keith Washington, cornerback out of West Virginia, 4.38 40-yard dash. That dude has a real opportunity to be a special teamer for the Saints. Maybe take the JT route there, the JT Gray route there. I talked about Juwan Johnson. He's a big bodied guy. Not too impressed by him though, because he's a big guy, but he doesn't do a lot of big guy things. 33% contested catch rate. You expect a guy with that kind of size to be better than that. So we'll see what goes on with him. Gus Cumberlander, who's a very interesting guy, certainly a big name for the back of that jersey, but 6'7", 250 pounds, reminds me a little bit of Corbin Calfusi, somebody that the Saints were really interested in and brought in as an undrafted free agent out of Penn State last year. Injuries, big time injuries with him. But he'll be interesting to sort of see where he goes. Tino Ellis, the cornerback out of Maryland, I like him. I don't know that he's going to make a roster, really challenge for a roster spot, but he has a little bit of that outside presence, so he could be that guy. He's long, physical, has experience in both man and zone, so he has some scheme versatility. And then Adrian McGee, as I mentioned earlier, and the punter out of Penn State that I mentioned was Blake Gillikin is his name. He has a mullet. That's really all you need to know about him. So a very intriguing undrafted free agent class, but it's not over. It's still not over, y'all. They're still bringing in undrafted free agents. They're still meeting with people, and they're still meeting with free agents. And that's where Jameis Winston comes in. Now, let me address this very quickly. I'll go way more in depth on this topic tomorrow. This is a lot. So Jameis Winston signs with the Saints, expected to be a one-year deal, expected to not be a lot for a lot of money. We talked about Taysom Hill's contract already, 2 years, $21 million, $16 million guaranteed over those 2 years. So that's a pretty hefty guarantee. You can expect to see Taysom Hill get a nod at QB1 in 2021, as long as things go to plan. But just in case, the Saints smart enough to bring in a backup plan. Now, is this a backup plan that I'm very excited about? It is a backup plan in which I understand the organizational approach to establishing some additional fortitude in the quarterback room. That's my way of dancing around this. That's my way of dancing around this signing. Y'all know that I'm not a huge fan of what Jameis showed over his time in Tampa Bay, but I will say that he does come into a much better situation here. Sean Payton went out and got him. That's very different than the feeling that he had. Sean Payton has the ability to sit back and let him develop, and Jameis Winston gets to come and be under the tutelage of a guy like him, a quarterback coach like Joe Lombardi, and be mentored by a quarterback like Drew Brees. And there's no better situation than that for a guy who can then go out in 2021 and either get another contract elsewhere, kind of like what Teddy Bridgewater did, or he takes the more Teddy Bridgewater-ish route, signs another deal, and then potentially finds his way as the starter for New Orleans. We don't know. I'm not going to say that it's going to be one way or another. It all comes down to what happens with Taysom Hill, but the Saints are set up here to give themselves an option if both Drew Brees and Taysom Hill were to, for some reason, get hurt during the 2020 season. They give themselves an option if Taysom Hill doesn't pan out and they know it, then they have somebody that they're going to be familiar with by the end of this season to potentially look to and say, hey, we can give you a starting job here. Since we invested in you, here's an opportunity for you. We like what we've been able to do with you. So this comes down just as much to the coaching staff as it does to the player and Jameis Winston. This is a large undertaking for the Saints coaching staff for sure. But if they can get everything right here, they're either going to do really, really well by Jameis Winston and really, really well by themselves by insuring themselves just in case, or they're going to do really, really well by Jameis Winston and potentially just do really, really well for themselves and their future in case things don't work out with Taysom Hill. And when Taysom Hill becomes the starter, or if Taysom Hill, for whatever reason or another, ends up off the team, they still have somebody in that what is turning out to be a very important slasher role for the Saints now that Tommy Stevens is in the building as well. So a lot going on in the quarterback room, a lot going on this roster, and a lot going on just this weekend. We'll go more in depth tomorrow, talking a bit more about Jameis Winston and Tommy Stevens and Taysom Hill and everything going on there. We'll update you with the contract throughout the week as we get more contract details. And more importantly, tomorrow, we'll welcome back Delvin Bro onto the show. You heard him come on last year. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Very excited to have him back. And it's going to be a big week here at Locked On Saints. So I thank you, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust Sudat Nation, I'll holla at you.